expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A., coming to you live on Monday, June the 12th, 2017. We have a live show for you today. Just want to thank you all sincerely. Thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show and in engaging in Black Talk Radio Network, listening to all the programs brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network, and being a part of BTR community. Thank you all for doing that. In order for us to keep that momentum going and to keep growing, we need to also continue to support Black Talk Radio Network, and you can very easily do that by going to the website for Black Talk Radio Network. That's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, and there on the far right hand margin you'll see that icon, the donation icon is right there. Just click on that and that will lead you to where you can give some of your financial energy in order to ensure that this network is on air and going forward in the future, bringing you what you need to know and the things that should is concerning us, and maybe in actually having an opportunity to develop our own collective prudence as to what we need. So very, very important. Looking forward to that as we continue to grow. Also, Black Talk Radio Network has a social media network as well. And if you just go to the homepage for Black Talk Radio Network, www.blacktalkradionetwork, right under the donation icon, you'll see a capital B with a black background. And that is for BTR community that this network put together as a social media network outlet for you to engage in all of your social media activities like you would do on Facebook, a.k.a. Facebook, and all of the other platforms that you have. This is where you can do it in a more holistic way without you having to worry about being adversely affected by way of your identity being sold and by way of your overall postings being data mined for social profiling of you for others that want to see, they can see just that. I was just wondering for some of you that are small business owners or medium business owners or business owners, or even for some of you, have you been getting a lot of different junk calls or soliciting for business for different things? One of the ways that you know it's possibly that's getting there, because that's your identity has been sold to someone. Who do you think may be doing that? Probably one of the most popular social media platforms. They got the numbers from Messenger and everything else, and oh man, this stuff is crazy. So this is where you're starting. You don't have to worry about that with Black Talk Radio Network. And this is why most people think that Facebook is free. Nowhere near free, never will be free. They will never give you anything. It's just, that's just not how it works. So come on over to BTR Community. For only $24 a year, you can post things about you, your business, what is important to you. You don't have to worry, you know, as long as you're reasonable, and you don't have to worry about being put on any kind of probation or this, all this other stuff. So come on over to BTR Community, and this is where one place that you definitely should be. It's only $24 a year. So check out that. Also, let me go to, if you would like to acquire real money, you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. That's Prosperitymint.com. Go to Prosperity Mint. Check out some of the inventory or some of the precious metals that's there. There's all five grades of the precious metals is there. The investment grades of precious metal, platinum, palladium, rhodium, gold and silver. So you could do that, acquire real money. Even though you are not paid as a king and a queen or as a lady and a gentleman, you definitely can save as that, and it's very, very important going forward in the future. So go on over to prosperitymint.com and check out what's there in inventory. Then make sure you email info@prosperitymint.com, info@prosperitymint.com. And once you do that, you will be able, someone will get in contact with you, and that will, so that you are to ensure that you understand the buying process and is to your advantage. Please make sure you do that. So definitely looking forward to everything that's going on. Okay, so Prosperity Mint, July the 1st of 2017, coming up here in just about 2 weeks. We're going to have the Control Your Wealth Seminar in Dallas. Looking forward to that. If come on down to Dallas and spend some time with us at the Control Your Wealth Seminar. It's going to be a four-hour day. It's going to start at 10 a.m. in the morning, and it's going to go into 2 p.m., and it's going to be at the Central Library in Dallas. It's going to be at 1515 Young Street in Dallas, Texas. Come on down. Tickets are $300 for single tickets and $550 for couples. And this is going to be a great, great opportunity. It's sponsored by Prosperity Mint and the Controlling Wealth Seminar. Prosperity Mint will actually give a one-hour introduction as to what's going on, why you should, what some of the things you need to know, and some very, very important things. And we'll be able to engage with you personally there. Also, 1 hour will be Trust and Foundations. Legacy Wealth Management Group will actually be there for that, and then there will be a one-hour precious metals class that will be given by Prosperity Mint. Then there will be a one-hour a debriefing, and we're looking at opportunities that you can seize on and use to your advantage. It's going to be a great, great event. You will learn much. You will actually be able to apply things that benefit you and your family, and then directly our community. Very, very important in today's world. So that is something that you all should be engaging in. If you are a vendor, you would like to be a part of the vending portion of that, the information is right there at Eventbrite. Just go to eventbrite.com, Control Your Wealth Seminars. And also we will have it online as well for those of you that aren't able to travel to Dallas. It will be $300 for that. So that will be available to you all as well. Looking forward to that. And so come on down July the 1st, 2017. Okay? And also, if you would like to engage in the Trade Coin Club and trading the a very good, easy program for you to trade the cryptocurrencies, which are doing phenomenal, all you have to do is go to rcryptocurrency.com. That's rcryptocurrency.com, rcryptocurrency.com. That's rcryptocurrency.com. And check out what we have there is the platform with the trade coin. The trade Coin Club. Sorry about that. Just go to Our Cryptocurrency, and that's OurCryptoCurrency.com. OurCryptoCurrency.com. So just put OurCryptoCurrency.com, or you just go into the BTR for Tando Radio Show. It's always posted there. And way you can do it, I love this platform. It's been working. It worked well for me. With the platform is growing, and for those of you that have signed up and haven't completed your registration and completed everything, we're going to have another call this week. I'm not quite sure when we're going to have it. I think probably we will have it on. No, can't have it on. So we'll have one this evening, 15 minutes after Tando Radio Show this evening, because the rest of the week I think is going to be kind of. But no, we'll do it tomorrow. We're going to have to do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow right after Tando Radio Show, 5 minutes after Tando Radio Show goes off. For those of you that are in, that have signed up for TradeCoin Club, you know who you are. Definitely get in on the conference call, and I will text it to you. Those of you that have signed up as of recently, you know who you are. I will send the number to you for you to engage in that. And so we're going to try to get you all squared away. I mean, because the cryptocurrencies are continuing to do. Ethereum went up to $420 today, and it dropped back down. But as I said, that things would be moving in June, and they are. And so they're going to continue. Then all of a sudden, you know, there was a drop in the, you know, in the overall cryptos, which is, you know, which is good and healthy for those of you. And just, you know, it's really something that I think we all should be getting into. And there's a reason why, as long as we're leveraging it properly. So get into cryptocurrency, or it could trade for you. I can speak for myself. I don't know what it's going to. I made a mistake this week. I meant to have a selective, for it to do a selective thing, and I forgot to do it. I found out about it. Was talking to my man JB last night, and oh, what was it last night? What was the other day on? I mean, it was on the other day on the weekend, and getting some people set up and everything else, and found out another way to trade just exclusively one of the cryptocurrencies, and I forgot to do it, and lo and behold, that cryptocurrency went berserk today. I was like, oh, David, yeah, I made a mistake, and I forgot to do it. So very easy to do. So I'm pleased with it. I'm gaining. I've got great gains, you know, just from having the trading automatically done for you, and it trades the top 10 cryptocurrencies. We're going to have RJ come back on this week and get John Black on again to talk about it. It works well for me. I traded also outside of that, doing really, really well. So for those of you that are interested in that, and man, it's something that we all should be, especially in today's what's going on. We have to. What's there for us to use to our advantage, we should be using. So this is definitely one. So definitely go to OurCryptoCurrency.com, and that once again is OurCryptoCurrency.com. OurCryptoCurrency.com. Sign up. Once you sign up, I will send you how to set up your account and everything else and get you squared away and continue to gain. I will just say for you, my gains itself have so far, and we're going into today is so 1 month or so into it, it has been over $1,000 earned for me, individually trading for what I was trading for, right around there. Maybe a little bit more, because I made a withdrawal just to make sure it all works and everything else. So it works, and I'm pleased with it, and I'm going to continue to do it. And now it's time to trade it into, this is another level of, income revenue generation that you can do. Very, very important. So that's what we're doing. Okay, next, let's jump into what's in the news. Let me get set up here. Which way should I go? I should go this way. I'm going to go from the bottom to the last one. That was today's show on this Monday, June the 12th, 2017. Wow, 6 months into the year already, folks. So the topic is in today's show is the growing dollar swing. Use your energy wisely. In the growing dollar swing, use your energy wisely. Very, very important. So first article that we posted in the what's in the news comes from Bloomberg. I posted this one from Bloomberg. Democrats weigh using debt ceiling debate to thaw the Republican GOP tax cuts. Congressional Democrats may be abandoning their calls for raising the national debt limit without any conditions. With the House and Senate party leaders now discussing whether to use their leverage to try to prevent the Republicans from enacting tax cuts for the wealthy. Check out that article. Next article, this one comes posted this one from International Man, and this is Killing the Pigeons. This is a really good article. We probably will be checking out this one on Financial Friday. Very, very important article. Has a lot to do about Venezuela, but has a lot to do about us here in so many different ways. So check out that article. Is there for you. Next article, I posted this one from express.co.uk. It is a British publication. Not too far away, North Korea readies to test newest nuclear missile in huge blow to the United States. In recent months, North Korea has been testing various of nuclear missiles at an unprecedented pace. Four new systems have been tested over the past few weeks, including a reliable short and medium range ballistic missile. It's the new intermediate range ballistic missile could comfortably hit Guam and the Hermit State also has successfully tested new anti-ship cruise missiles, and that is for the naval armada that was in the region. However, that's going to play out, we'll see. But this is unfolding, ladies and gentlemen, in a way that you need to be aware of. All right, next article comes from, I posted this one from Sputnik News. South Korea confirms plans to continue the THAAD development. Next article. And this is, before we go to the next article, this one about that. The newly celebrity figurehead moon of South Korea wanted it out, and then that got changed. They're staying. So this is going to continue to be a problem, ladies and gentlemen. Next article I posted, this one from the BangkokPost.com. Indonesia, 1,200 ISIL militants in, let me move this down, missed it, in the Philippines. So check out that article. This is being used all over the place. Now let me ask you something. Who gains from that? You already know. Check out the next article from the South Sea of China Morning Post. The South China Morning Post. I posted this one. Why U.S. $50 oil is at the heart of the Saudi Qatar conflict. Very, very important. This is something that we definitely need to be talking about today. This will be a very, very important why you need to know this. And it says, though Doha's relationship with Iran and Syria extremists are never appreciated, it is another Arab Spring within its own borders that's given the kingdom real nightmares. By Tom Holland. This is an old story about the Saudi Arabian monarch. Check out that article. Next article comes from my man, L.A. Ramon. What's up, L.A. Ramon? I hadn't talked to you in a little bit, man. Catch up with me whenever you get a chance. My man, L.A. Ramon, had posted this article. Oil extends gain as the Saudis see global supply drop accelerating. This is critical. This is why what's going on right now had to slow the overall flow of oil, particularly Iranian oil, because Iran was killing the market and it was not being sold in U.S. dollars. This is why a lot of things are starting to unfold, even to where they will have to where our children will be called upon to engage in in wars all over the globe. So be ready for this, ladies and gentlemen. Have a plan. Next article, and very, very, very important article, part of today's show, the importance of it. And this one, I said, is huge unfolding events. This one comes from the GlobeAndMail.com, and this is a Canadian publication. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It has started in a major, major way. U.S. dollar shortage hits Qatar. I say Qatar. A lot of people say Qatar, so it's really Qatar, but I say Qatar. Qatar exchange. U.S. dollar shortage hit Qatar's exchange houses as foreign banks scale back ties. Shortages of U.S. dollar hit money exchanges houses in Qatar on Sunday, making it harder for worried foreign workers to send money home as foreign banks scale back business with Qatar institutions because of the regional diplomatic crisis. We have no dollars because there is no shipment or transportation from the United Arab Emirates. Very, very important, critical happening going on. We're going to be talking about this today. And then next article, I got this one from Bloomberg. And this is, let me pull it up real quick because it didn't post completely. Sometimes it doesn't always post the complete story so where you can see it. This was from Bloomberg. I posted this one. Qatar's banks can survive Gulf foreign funds withdrawal, the S&P says. Let me tell you something. Remember when Banco Popular CEO came on and said no one needs to worry about Banco Popular. We'll be okay. Ride out with us. No more than 7 days later, they were out of business, totally sold for 1 euro. And this is huge. Qatar banks can survive Gulf foreign funds withdrawal, S&P says. That means they can't, ladies and gentlemen. That absolutely is no way in the world that they can. And this is all being strategically done, okay? This is huge. And that was from yesterday. This article was from yesterday. Critical article as to what's going on. We may get to this one from what's going on, and you need to know because this has a lot to do with you and how it's going to affect you. Next article, I posted this one from Sputnik News. Dodd-Frank repeal. Next speculative crisis will be much worse than 2008. The U.S. House of Representatives has proved a bill which can undo much of the regulatory measures taken by the Obama administration's following the 2008 economic crisis. Scaling back or eliminating post-crisis bank rules covered under the Dodd-Frank Act. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all being set up. So this is critical for you to know as well. Next article, I posted this one from South China Morning Post. Beijing more closed to the West than before, says China Watcher. This is so true. And they're closed to the U.S., but opening up to everyone else. That means everyone else is going to have to close with the U.S. as well. And that is definitely what's happening. So check that out. Next article, I got this from Foxless News. And Puerto Rico voters back becoming 51st state in a referendum marred by boycott. Puerto Rico's governor announced that the U.S. territory has overwhelmingly chosen statehood in a no-binding referendum Sunday held amidst a deep economic crisis that has sparked an exodus of islanders to the U.S. mainland. Nearly 500,000 voters were cast for statehood, more than 7,600 for free association independence and nearly 67 for independence, according to preliminary results. Ladies and gentlemen, Puerto Rico is completely bankrupt. This is going to be a black swan that is going to hit. There's a couple of black swans, major black swans And black swans are events that you didn't calculate happening, and all of a sudden, they've created everything. On Friday, we played something from Jim, from, oh man, it was on, give me a second here. It was, man, got his name right on the tip of my tongue. We played a video on Friday, and it was Jim Rogers. Man, I couldn't. It was Jim Rogers on Business Insider. And what did Jim Rogers say? Man, it's about to happen. It's going to be worse than anything I've ever seen. His parents lived through the Great Depression. And he said it's going to be the worst. And go back and listen to Friday's show. And one of the things he said is that when it's going to be an event that you don't see coming. That's known as a black swan. There are a bunch of black swans that are happening as we speak right now and unfolding. Be ready, be ready, be ready. So definitely check out that article that is there. Things you need to know, okay? Next article. I got this one from FarsNews.com. This is an Iranian publication. And it says, this one is where Iran is saying that they can prove that the U.S. has been, let me just pull it up real quick because it didn't have the title in it. And this one says, commanders, Iran has proof of U.S. direct support of ISIL terror group. Check this out. And this is critical, especially for what's going on over in the Middle East, in the Persian Gulf area, with Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Yemen, in all of this, everything in that area, and what's going on with Iraq, Iran, Syria, just is building to what I say is going to lead into GNW1, Global Nuclear War 1. So check out that one. Next article we have, my man, oh no, I didn't, not that far down. Let me get down here. Next article I post from Wolf Street. Is another Spain bank about to bite the dust? Remember, and we're going to, I didn't get to do this on Financial Friday, but we will do this. This is all a part of what we, earlier this year, we told you about of some very important events where actual banks, some major banks saying that you better get ready because depositors will be a drawdown on depositors. It's unfolding, ladies and gentlemen, meaning they're going to be, your accounts will be seized, or your accounts will be taken to settle debt that the banks have, and this is known as a bail-in. Major, major. Check out that article. Next article. I posted this one from Bloomberg. Fed needs a better inflation target. Ooh. They are going to bring the heat, ladies and gentlemen. Got to be there. Next article from, let me move this down, Neon Nettle. And this one, my man Kevin sent me this. Thanks, Kevin. I said, man, this is the big setup. Billionaire PayPal CEO or founder. Let me look at this, how it is written, because I don't want to. Billionaire PayPal founder admits to drinking children's blood. What in, not surprised. This is what happens. And this is the setup, ladies and gentlemen. And that setup is being put into place for us to accept pretty much darn near any and everything. This is crazy. Check out that article. And just sick. It's a reason for this, ladies and gentlemen. Next article, I posted this one from Business Insider. U.S. lawmakers are worried that China is gaining influence over U.S. allies. U.S. leaders are increasingly worried that China is gaining influence over traditional American allies as the rising communist power charts a more aggressive foreign policy course. Those concerned are primed most recently by the new South Korean president's decision to suspend the deployment of U.S. missile defense systems known as THAAD, but that was put back on. And this, ladies and gentlemen, hear what is being said. U.S. lawmakers are worried China is gaining influence over U.S. allies. What does that mean? What does that really mean? What we've been telling you, the purge, ladies and gentlemen, the purge. The U.S. will have no allies. Anyone that wants to do business with China in the future will not be able to do business with the U.S. at all. And by once that is cemented, there will be no that will be lifted. That will be completely lifted because there will be no United States the way you know it anymore. It will not be any formidable threat anymore at all. It will be the untied states of America. And because of that, everyone will be doing business in the United States because the United States will have been seized and repossessed for everything that you own that you default on in loans. It gets repossessed. The U.S. will be repossessed. So check out that article. Next article, my man Roz posted this one. Good article from Reuters. Security firms warn of new cyber threat to the electrical grid. Two cyber security companies said that they have uncovered sophisticated pieces of malicious software capable of causing power outages by ordering industrial companies to shut down industrial computers to shut down electrical transmissions. Analysis of the malware known as Crash Override or Indestroyers indicates it was likely used in a December 2016 cyber attack that cut off power in the Ukraine, according to the firm. And we covered that, ladies and gentlemen, that all the lights went out in the Ukraine. That was the dry run. That's what we said. Big ups to my man Ross, and he remembers that and put that in there. We need to know and be ready, ladies and gentlemen, at any time. Next article, Ross posted this from Business Insider. Israeli hackers reportedly got into ISIS network and found they were building laptop bombs. Check out that article. Next article, Roz posted this one from Nothing But Criminals News. Just NBC News. D.C. Maryland officials have hit celebrity figurehead President Trump with a lawsuit. Check out that article. Great articles Roz posted. Next article, that Roz posted this one from Medical News Today. Eye stroke, symptoms, risk, and treatment. The eyes, move this down, the eyes, as all the body's organs, depends on the flow of oxygen-rich blood to function. There are nerves and tissues that send signals to the brain to create a visual image. One of these critical tissues is in the retina, which is at the back of the eye. So check out that article. Great, great, great article. Great, great postings there. Roz, thank you. Thank you, L.A. Ramon, for your posting. Thank you, Kevin, for what you sent. And we are. That is what's in the news. So at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, and hit **. We'll see you in queue, and we'll definitely bring you up so that we can have a dialogue, because a dialogue is much more important than a monologue. So much love, much respect to you all. And we're going to go ahead and jump into today's show. So with that being said, once again, if you'd like to give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. All right, so today's show, once again, let me pull this up real quick. Let me get back to it. Today's show is In the Growing Dollar Swing. Use your energy wisely. What do I mean by that? The growing dollar swing, meaning is moving away from the dollar. And right now, I think that we all should be engaging in acquiring as much currency as we possibly can to transmit into as many assets as we possibly can. And as well, relationship-wise with individuals and with people, so critical. So I wanted to start today's show with that because of some things that we definitely need to know and get familiar with. How much time we got? Okay, so what I want to do is that as we speak right now, I'm going to pull up a very, very important article for today's show. And that article is... The article I posted about from the Globe and Mail.com. And this is a U.S. dollar shortage hit cutter. Exchange houses as foreign banks scale back ties. This is more than huge. And we're going to go over some of the reasons why this is so, so important and what's why this has such deep ramifications, which you need to know about. Okay? So we're going to jump into that. So let's go into this article. Then I'm going to play a video for you guys to hear what's going on. Then you some things that you need to know. Here we go. And this is from yesterday, updated last at 5:03 Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, yesterday. Early yesterday evening. U.S. dollar shortage hits cutter. Exchange houses as foreign banks scale back ties. They're doing more than scaling back, ladies and gentlemen. They're pulling out. Okay? And here we go. A shortage of U.S. dollars hit money exchange houses in Qatar on Sunday, making it harder for workers, for worried foreign workers to send money home. As foreign banks scale back business with Qatar institutions because of the region's diplomatic crisis. We have no dollars because there is no shipments or transportations from the United Arab Emirates. There is no stock, said a dealer at Qatar's UAE exchange house in Doha City Center Mall. The shipment is blocked from the UAE. Several other exchange houses in Doha also tell Reuters, let me move this down, they had no supplies of U.S. dollars at Qatar's UAE exchange. Dozens of people, some of them foreigners who comprise of nearly 90% of the population of 2 million, waited quietly in line to change money or make remittance to their home countries. I spoke with, in quotes, a gentleman said, I spoke with my wife this morning, and she said, send your savings to me now. I am not panicking, but... I'm not panicking, but my family are scared, says John Vinson, an air conditioning repairman from the Philippines. I sent 2,000 reals, which is roughly about $550 home, but I have some more savings left here in Qatar. I will see what the situation is in the coming days before I decide what to do. And I want to stop there really quickly, ladies and gentlemen. This is always the... Now, I don't know this individual. Don't know what he's doing and everything else, right? Don't know how prepared he was for it and everything. But I will say this. These type of financial crisis is going to be global. Is going to be here. It's already been here, but it's going to be here in a more profound way, just like this is. Undeniably a major problem. And the thing is that you have to see these things before they happen. One, so that you'll know what to do when it happens. And you won't be as adversely affected by it. And number three, the most important thing, you'll be able to seize on the opportunities that will be created by it. This is why we started Candle Radio Show. This is why. To get you prepared. To get you ready. To get you thinking. To get you questioning. To get you moving. To get you doing. To get you disciplined. This is not fleeting times. This is time for action, discipline, coordination to seize on these opportunities that are going to be coming. So we hope that you will be engaging in this. I don't know this gentleman, but I would say this. This is the last thing you ever want to happen. Imagine if you're on vacation and all of a sudden in a foreign country and your cash is no longer any good, or you can't get, you can't access any cash, and you're in a foreign country on vacation. Last, there's a couple of rules when traveling abroad. You can't get sick, you can't get injured, you can't get in trouble. And what is happening in this scenario, when there is a dollar crisis, which it is there now, when it is, but in a reverse where the dollar is, the crisis of the dollar is adversely affecting you, even if you're in the United States, it's just like you being in a foreign country. You just got sick, just got injured, and just got in trouble, all wrapped up in one. It's the last thing you ever want to be confronted with. And you have had better had made the proper arrangements or had the proper contingency plan to deal with just that, just like you need to have it even though you're here in the States. But if you're outside of the States and the just got real, the boop just got real, hopefully you packed a plan. Hopefully you brought along a solution to that problem that was facing you that probably you could have foreseen happening before it came about. So I want to continue with this. Just wanted to give you that thought. It continues. The dollar shortage does not mean Qatar, which is one of the richest states in the world per capita, has huge foreign reserves, is running out of money. But they show how the diplomatic crisis is disrupting parts of the financial system. Let me stop there, just off that short two sentence. The dollar shortage does not mean that Qatar, which is one of the richest states in the world per capita, and has huge foreign reserves, is running out of money. But they show how the diplomatic crisis is disrupting part of the financial system. Read it again for this reason. This is prime example of billionaires being broke. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why billionaires and millionaires go broke overnight, even though they still have the billions of reserves and everything. Because it's all tied. When they say the word money, they mean currency, they mean cash, they mean foreign reserves, they mean domestic reserves, they mean promissory notes. And when promissory notes no longer fulfill their promise, it doesn't matter how many you have, your boop is broke. It's broke. And this is by design. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter how much foreign reserves Qatar has. When the financial system pulls the rug up from under you, you won't be on your feet. You will be going towards, gravity will be pulling you head first towards the ground for the crash. And that's what's happening here. And that's what's happening, is going to be happening selectively in so many different places and having effects everywhere. It's a lot of rugs that's going to be pulled. The article goes on. Saudi Arabia and the UAE, Bahrain, Egypt banks began scaling back business with Qatar last week after governments cut diplomatic ties and transport ties, accusing Doha of supporting terrorism. Then over the weekend, the UEA told its banks to exercise enhanced due diligence towards six Qatar banks, which it alleges might have done business with people or entities on a terrorist blacklist. That was a politically correct statement. This is what it, when they said enhanced due diligence, what does that mean? the United Arab Emirates is pulling out their cash from Qatar's banks and cutting off banking ties. Article goes on. They stop short of a complete ban on business with Qatar, but the effect may turn out to be much the same. Guess what it is? And it's going to grow. And this has huge implications on you right here. The UAE banks are absent from Qatar's foreign exchange and more money markets on Sunday, causing both the markets to slow down because they were feared any details could expose them to legal risk, banks have said. Some Western banks with a presence in Qatar continued business as normal, partly because they do not want to lose out on billions of dollars of building projects, which Qatar's plans before it hosts the Soccer World Cup in 2022. But other Western banks have halted new Qatar business, including interbank and syndicated lending, while continue to serve existing businesses, bank sources said, declining to be named because of political sensitivities. Everybody is shocked. They are not worried about Qatar's credit. They're worried about compliance and the risk that the local sanctions could be escalated to an international level, one foreign banker said in the region. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is has been escalated to an international level. And this is huge because this is going to cause for banks and for institutions to pull out, and this is going to destroy, and it could gain momentum to totally destroying and causing a global banking crisis. And that, you know what that means, is what we've been preparing you for here. Article continues. How much time we got? Okay, article continues. Everywhere all the banks, exchange houses are, there are no dollars. All the exchange houses are trying to get currency from other countries, the dealers at the Qatar UAE exchange said, adding that his firm was hoping for a shipment from Hong Kong. From Hong Kong. The six Qatar banks named by the EAU are Qatar's National Banks, Qatar Islamic Bank, Qatar's International Islamic Bank, Mustafa Al-Riyadh Doha Bank, and unlisted Barwa Bank did not respond, and they did not respond to Reuters' request for comments. Goes on. The share prices of all five of the listed banks fell on Sunday, with QNB, Qatar's National Bank, losing 0.5%, and investors reacted to the prospect of the bank facing funding difficulties because of reduced ability to borrow from foreign institutions. So what does that mean? If you had a bank account at those banks, what would you be doing? Pulling out. If you were an investor of those banks, what would you be doing? Pulling out. If whole countries are pulling out, if the UAE is pulling all of their banking relationships and all of their bankings, and this is, the number is staggering how much it is, what would you do? Say, uh-oh, if I don't get mine out, they're going to seize it, and I'm going to lose it. What would you do? If you had something that you paid a bunch for, and you was holding it, and then all of a sudden that investment was losing its value, and you had the opportunity to sell it, what would you do? You would sell it. You would get out of the way. This is huge, folks. One of the richest per capita countries in the world. And all of that wealth is based in what? Paper. And the paper just got pulled. This is how. So just imagine little old you, little old me, little old us, if we don't prepare accordingly. This is major for Qatar, and all of do business with it. here's what I think is going to happen. There will be countries that will come in to save the day, but then those countries will be attacked banking-wise just as well. And this is going to blow into an international incident of proportional global historical proportions if it continues. It's already started there. This is no little blip on the screen. This is huge. I want to continue before we go to commercial break. Qatar's banks have around about $60 billion in riyals, around $16.5 billion in U.S. dollars, in funding in the form of customers and interbank deposits from other Gulf states. The SICO, move this down, Bahrain estimates most of this could eventually be withdrawn if the crisis continues. $16.5 billion withdrawn. Bankers expect Qatar's banks to borrow from the central bank's repo facility if this becomes a short funding. If they become short of funds, let me move this down. The repo rate is currently at 2.25%, and the cost of borrowing the cost of borrowing 3 months' money among Qatar's bank rose nearly that on Sunday to 2.2%, highest in many years. And this is going to go only higher, ladies and gentlemen. Huge, because the risk factor is so great. It's just like when you're a credit risk, you got to pay more interest. This is going to be crazy in how this can, and this has this, all of these banks are interconnected regardless of what they do. If they sever diplomatic ties and banking relations, this puts strains on the whole economic system. And you're talking about one of the wealthiest countries in the world. So what does that mean? Why are they one of the wealthiest countries in the world? It's because they have cash investments throughout the world in different things. Now that funding's going to be pulled or lost. Whew. The central bank, it goes on. Central bank rules limit the size of the repo to 2%, to 2 cents, 2% of each banker's private sector deposit. Bank speculates the central bank may lift this cap. Whew. Oh, man. I missed that part earlier. Hear this again. Central bank rules limit the size of repos to 2% of each bank's private sector's deposit. Okay? This is each bank's private sector deposit. The bank speculates the central bank may lift this cap. The central bank did not respond to a request for comment. Oh. Woo. This is more than huge. And when we come back and talk about why, and I think it's very important that before we do that, we do one other thing. I want you to catch up on what's going on in Qatar, because that may be the black swan of all kinds of banking problems and what that means for you and everyone else. Things you need to know, and the things that I think is critical for us to be ready and prepared for. Because they're not going to tell you. They didn't cover this story anywhere in the States. They're not covering this. They're not telling you about this. They're not making you aware. They mildly made this aware to you. And there's a reason for that. Because they want to pull a rug. And when they pull the rug, they want you to be bound by gravity head first for the crash. This is why in the growing dollar swing, use your energy wisely. So listen, everyone, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Then hit star. We'll see you in queue, and we'll bring you up. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Media Project launched the digital radio platform Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Then hit star. We'll see you in queue. I'm going to play a video for you to get you up to speed on what's going on in Qatar. I call it Qatar because my fast speech, but it is actually Qatar. And why you need to know, because this is something that you need to know and to let your conscience be your guide and for you to resonate with some things that was going on. I think it's very, very important for us to always be in tune to everything around us. Even if it's not physically in front of us, you still can be in tune to things. Because you have that capability, you have that type of power, you have that type of influence, you have that type of creative capabilities that is within you. So, what I want to do, and then after we play this, it's about 25 minutes. I'm going to jump this. If you'd like to get in after this, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. And so what I want you to do is just really pay it. I'm going to play this, pay attention to it, and then we'll talk about it. So let me just cue this up real quick, and we'll get this going. Very, very important. You need to know what's going on here so that you can make sure that you're not caught by surprise by anything. Okay? Because last thing you want, and I'm going to tell you, and I do think that when we do have the events, that the crisis that will be unfolding here in the States, many, 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 many people will be caught completely flat-footed and off guard. And when you're flat-footed and off guard, it doesn't take much to push you over. And because of how fragile the economy is for so many, it won't take much, and what will come will be more than just a push. It will be a whirlwind of crisis, calamity, and destruction. So let me just get this together here. Cool, 1 second, and I got it. Oops, stop. Okay, here we go.
Right. Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, the UAE, Yemen, as well as Egypt and Libya have all 7 ties of Qatar. And air, land, and sea shutdowns are underway too. The nations say it's for their own national security, but what's really in play and at stake amongst these Gulf neighbors? This is Inside Story.
This is English out here.
Hello, I'm Kamal Santa Maria. So we know there's a diplomatic rift in the Gulf. We know it's been building for some time. But even with that knowledge, the events of Monday morning came as a surprise. Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Egypt all abruptly cut off diplomatic ties with Qatar. But it is more than just recalling ambassadors. Land and sea borders have been closed, which, as you can see on the map, leaves Qatar pretty isolated. On top of that, major airlines are cancelling their routes in and out of Doha. And Qatar residents have 2 weeks to leave the three Gulf states in question. Here's the official line from Saudi Arabia's state news agency. It is, quote, urging all brotherly countries and companies to do the same. And actually, Yemen and Libya and the Maldives have already answered that call. Why? Well, Saudi Arabia says it's because Qatar harbors a multitude of terrorist and sectarian groups that aim to create instability in the region. Qatar's cabinet didn't immediately respond, but when it did, it said the decision to sever ties was unjustified and based on lies. The cabinet said the aim is to strip Qatar of its sovereign decisions. Foreign Ministry also made a statement saying the aim is clear and it is to impose guardianship on the state. This by itself is a violation of Qatar's sovereignty as a state. As for retaliation, the ministry says the Arab nations' decisions would, quote, not affect the normal lives of citizens and residents in Qatar. So that is a local reaction. But the Gulf is, of course, of huge relevance to the rest of the world. GCC politics affects everything. Oil prices, economy, global security. The U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has urged the GCC countries to stay united in the face of terrorism.
We certainly would encourage the parties to sit down together and address these differences. And if there's any role that we can play in terms of helping them address those, we think it is important that the GCC remain unified. I do not expect that...
All right. Let me stop this. This was from last Monday. Let me just stop this real quick. Seriously, you know who created this? This was right after. This all abruptly happened right after celebrity figurehead Trump left Saudi Arabia. That Monday after then. The Monday after that. This was last Monday. And then this dude says, and boy, this is playing out to what we said it was going to be. This is how you engineer and you create the climate for war. This is the response to Iran selling their oil outside of the petrodollar establishment. Let's get back to it so you can check it out.
That this will have any significant impact, if any impact at all, on the unified fight against terrorism in the region or globally.
So let's just backtrack a little bit, because I said at the top of the show that this has been building for some time. If we go back a little bit, most of the countries involved were at the Riyadh summit in May, but events there suggested a shifting of alliances. The US, the UAE, Saudi Arabia on one side, Qatar very much out of the club. Days later, the Qatar news agency posted a video that said the Qatari emir had made statements that were pro-Iran, pro-Israel, anti-US President Donald Trump, and supportive of groups like Hamas and Hezbollah. The Qatar news agency says it had been hacked. The damage, though, was already done. The other Gulf countries immediately launched a fierce media campaign against
Qatar. Who do you think hacked them?
And then on Saturday, emails were leaked from the inbox of the UAE's ambassador to the United States, suggesting the Emiratis have been working with Israeli think tanks and have actually tried to hurt the reputation of Kuwait and Qatar. Okay, so we've got three guests to work through all of this today. Here in the studio with me is Abdulaziz Ahour, who's an academic and a researcher. Abdulaziz, a contributor to the book Policymaking in Transformative States, The Case of Qatar. Then in London, we have David Hurst. He's the editor-in-chief of Middle East Eye, an independent news website. And also running at the panel here in Doha is Mahjoub Zoueidi, the Associate Professor of Contemporary History of the Middle East at Qatar University. Gentlemen, thank you for your time. I like to start discussions like this with one question for all three of you, so a quick response from all three of you to the same question. As I said, we know this has been building. Abdulaziz, I'll start with you. We know this has been building. But did you see this coming? Something so coordinated, so fast? I mean, this happened at 5 in the morning, Doha time. Did you expect this level of response?
Actually, I did not expect the speed of the events to reach this status at this time, especially that for the last 20 years, Qatar has been positioning itself as a peacemaker. Now, it's not by talk, it's by work, actually. You know, the Qatar contribution to the Sudanese Darfur conflict, to Eritrea, to Lebanon, to so many areas in Africa and Asia and the Middle East. Such a small country that would like to maintain good relationship with the neighbors, GCC, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, and other countries. This is what this country has been trying to do for the last 20 years, actually, in terms of policies, in terms of actions, in terms of behaviors and contributions. Therefore, I did not expect in return that this what would happen at this time.
David Hurst, your initial thoughts? Was it building to this?
Yes, it was, and I wrote a column about it a few days ago, sort of predicting what's going to happen, although obviously I didn't get all the details right. I think this is a pretty major event. It's not a spat. It's a pre-planned operation. I think the trigger for it was the visit of Donald Trump, who basically gave a green light to Mohammed bin Zayed and Mohammed bin Salman, but had been prepared in the American press before with a lot of Emirati money and involvement. There were 14 different op-eds written about Qatar, which is very strange because the American press doesn't really, or certainly the opinion columns of the American press doesn't really bother itself about Qatar. So this is an operation, and I think the end result could be either Qatar radically changing its policy or regime change in Qatar. And if that is the case, this could be one of the last programs of a program called Inside Story. I think in future, programs like this would be called Mohammed bin Salman's story.
Goodness me, I don't know what to say to that, David. Mahjoub Zoueidi, let's bring you in. What did you think when you woke up at 6 o'clock this morning and heard this news?
I think it was a surprise at the speed and outcomes just after a few days after the media campaign. However, the visit of Mohammed bin Zayed to Trump just a days before Trump visit to Riyadh did indicate that there's something going on in terms of coordination between Washington and Abu Dhabi. And there was sort of information about why this visit just happened days before, the other meeting will take place in Riyadh. I think there was sort of expectation. I think what make things move quickly, I think the leaks of the Emirati ambassador in Washington, which I think pushed things to move quickly, as we said this morning.
Okay, so we have to draw lines on this one, and this is what I want to explain to our viewers, is exactly who's on what side and how they support. Abdulaziz, if I start with you, who are the Qatari allies? Who can they turn to now? If they're being shut out by everyone else, who's around?
I think still there are some allies. I mean, I'm not sure that the we were talking about the green light from United States, but if you go back to Tillerson, statement just a while ago, he said he would like to see the GCC unified. He said that the best solution is a dialogue and for everybody to sit on the table and to talk over these topics. Is it like he's giving like a media statement and saying something else in the back? I'm not really quite sure, but I would still think that there are a huge American interests in the country, as the military base is still in the country, as the American oil companies are still in the country. It's a financial hub for a lot of expats in the area. It's a huge stake, and it's a huge interest of so many countries. Therefore, I mean, I'm not sure that the United States is not still a partner or an ally here. Europe is the same thing. China, India.
What about Turkey? What about
Turkey?
Iran?
Turkey is a very strong ally here. But, you know, it's not about one ally. It's about the collection of allies that you need to rely on.
Okay. David Hurst, where does Qatar turn to right now? As Abdulaziz was saying, it seems like the end goal is to get people talking again, but in the interim, what does Qatar do?
You need a website.
Okay, so while that commercial plays, this is from Algier English. While that does that, let me just cut in real quick because it's very, very important. This was all coordinated. This happened last week, right after, like I was saying, celebrity figurehead Trump had came back. But here's a very, very important part to this, in my opinion. Not only that, but a couple of days after Monday, it was also Monday and Tuesday that the overall incident for the first time inside of Iran happened. The terrorist incident. And who did they say did it? This is unfolding in a huge, huge way. Don't forget that. And then now you'll start to put the pieces to the puzzle as to what's really going on. And then we're going to talk about how this could affect you and what you need to know. So we're going to get back to it. Here it comes, because I want you to hear all of this. Here we go.
Well, I think what everyone is looking for, the reaction of Turkey. I think that's a really, really key country. As you know, there's a military agreement between Turkey and Qatar. So far, Turkey has said things which are non-committal. It's a shame. The two sides should get talking to each other. But they haven't really committed themselves to defend or to support Qatar. And that would be absolutely key, and that will of course be Erdogan's decision alone, and so far he hasn't spoken himself. I think what our colleague said about American interests in Qatar is vitally important. I mean, another way of casting this is that the hosts of a CIA drone base in Saudi Arabia and the hosts of a deep sea water port in the Emirates and a major American air base in Dhafra in the Emirates are basically laying siege to the hosts of CENTCOM, which is based in Qatar. So in terms of logic or sense, this reads more like a plot out of Catch-22. That this makes no sense from American foreign policy at all, because each of these countries hosts vital U.S. military assets, and that's not, of course, to say anything about vital American oil or financial interests in Qatar. Mm. So, and at the moment, I think America is on the fence, but events may push it to have some at least backroom conversations with the Emirates and the Saudis, because what they don't want to see is more instability in the region. There is enough as it is.
Masjid Zuhairi, can you tell us about Iran's place here? I know that's one of your specialty subjects in your role at Qatar University. It has spoken quite strongly in favour of Qatar today, or at least said that this is not the way to handle this. Again, is there likely support coming from their actual material support as well?
You know, one of the ramifications of this crisis is actually empowering Iran in the region. And this basically reminds me of what happened in 2006 when they tried to isolate Hamas. Hamas went towards Iran. Today they are repeating the same scenario where basically they try to try to put Iran, Qatar in the corner, and Iran says, okay, they have to negotiate the matter. However, we are ready to help. And this is what the one of the officials in the president's office said. You know, we are ready to provide Qatar of its need. I think Iran, this crisis will empower Iran, and this basically works against what the whole summit of Riyadh summit targeted Iran. I think this basically Iran trying now to say, you know, we are the good guy in the region. We are not causing troubles. And this also reminds us of something else about Iran policy in the region, which Iran does not have a plan or does not basically prefer the change, any change of geopolitics in the region. So basically this will affect any move of changing in the region. I think this
is
also will
risk,
bring
though, just jumping in, Mr. Rube, is there a risk that we have another, I don't like the phrase proxy war, but another battleground for Iran versus Saudi Arabia?
I don't think so that will happen. Iran will not be interested to do so. However, Iran will try this time to work with Ankara. From this morning, there was a lot of debate from between Tehran and Ankara, and I think both countries have interest to have the region stable. More than this, I think there is also a lot of eyes on China, Japan. What can they? What will be the response to this crisis? One of the interesting, I think, related to Iran actually is the response of Russia, and I think Russia also was negative so far. Russia said everything. This is something should be solved internally. But let's not forget that a few weeks ago, Mohammed bin Salman was in Moscow just after the visit of Trump. So I think the Iran at the middle here tried to show itself as a good guy and will try to show that, you know, they have no interest to seek another crisis in the region. And I think this is one of the aim to Hassan Rouhani to present his second presidency as a mediator and a positive player in the region.
Okay, gentlemen, let's flip the coin and look at the other sides here. David Hurst, why don't I start with you? Short story, and again, just explaining for our viewers here, what does Saudi Arabia want? Is this simply about power? Is it about trying to put Qatar back into its box almost?
Well, I would like to reply by asking another question. Is this Saudi Arabia, or is this one faction within Saudi Arabia?
Okay.
Person who's been most associated with this policy is the Deputy Crown Prince, who's Mohammed bin Salman.
Mm-hmm.
He's only the Deputy Crown Prince. The Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Nayef, has said absolutely nothing, and he has very different policies from these. It's much more pro-Qatar and pro-Turkey. He, however, is saying nothing. Because crown princes do say nothing until it's their turn. So what is the motivation for this? I think at least part of the motivation for this is an internal one. It's to cement, shore up Mohammed bin Salman's power. And if he wins this round, I think he's only just a short step away from gaining the throne himself. The second motivation, I think, for this is that this really is payback for two decades of Qatar supporting what I would call the Arab Spring. Not necessarily Islamists, but democracy, for Al Jazeera's coverage of Egypt. In Libya, for instance, the support of the Tripoli government. In all of these conflicts, apart from Yemen, the Qatar and Turkey have been on the opposite sides to Egypt, to the Emirates and to Saudi. Qatar, or the people supporting Qatar, would call this the counter-revolution. But it's very, very clear, ideologically, where the split is. And this is the culmination of a very, very big internal conflict.
Mm.
Hence the use of the word terrorist. This is a very, very badly used word. And what Egypt calls a terrorist is not what Qatar calls a terrorist. And so there's a very fundamental split here. And I think what's happened is that the arrival of Trump has basically given the green light to the sort of final denouement of a very, very big conflict that's been brewing for at least two decades.
David, you actually preempted my next question, and I was going to throw this to Abdulaziz here in the studio, this idea that, yes, 20 years of Qatar trying to assert itself, the work of the now father Emir, Sheikh Hamad, who wanted to turn Qatar into an influencer, and clearly did that, but this is the payback. This is a cumulative effect, and now Saudi Arabia and its allies have said, enough, khalas, as we say here.
Yeah, but, you know, if you go back even to Donald Trump himself when he came to Riyadh, and in one of his statements, he said Qatar is a strategic partner against terrorists. Mm-hmm. This is really a statement that supports and endorses that Qatar is against terrorists. If you go back to the retweet of the former U.S. ambassadors in Qatar, she's been retweeting all of the tweets, just endorsing the same idea that Qatar is a strategic, really a partner in fighting against ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and terrorists in general. My concern that isolating Qatar or trying to isolate Qatar or destabilize the country will have an impact not only on Qatar. Mm. It will have impact on the whole region, actually.
Well, it is. People are being, nationals are being told they have to leave.
Exactly. Yeah. Not only this, it will go, it will reach to India, to China, to Europe, to even United States, to other countries as well. Therefore, I think it needs a very proactive diplomacy from the Qatari end to explain the threats and the impacts of such behavior. And from the other side, it needs a proactive also diplomacy from China, from India, from United States, from Europe, from all these countries to step in and to really try to resolve this in a very peaceful manner.
Will Qatar have to make some concessions?
I mean, this should be put on the table, actually. As Tillerson said, okay, come together, have a dialogue, talk over the issues, list all these issues as you have done 2014.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So the concession should be negotiated and discussed over the table in a very transparency matter.
David Hurst, Abdulaziz has given me a very diplomatic answer there. Can I get the same question to you? Concessions, what do you think Qatar might have to do? Certainly in the short term.
Okay, so what I wanted to stop it there real quick and then pick it back up before we go. Oh, we got time for it. Okay, I want to pick it back up. Here we go.
I'm certainly not sure what concessions there could be. I mean, the last time this happened, I think they expelled some senior members of the Muslim Brotherhood, but that was more token than a real change of policy. I think at the moment, it really does depend, you see, on what the game plan is. Is this just a verbal series of moves, or will economic measures really bite? At the moment, there are 900 lorries crossing the Saudi border a day. 40% of Qatar's food comes through Saudi Arabia. If this is a siege, if this is a real economic blockade followed by other action, I don't know, then
if it is a full, as you say, economic siege or blockade like that, it can't go on like that.
Well, it did survive the last time this happened when the borders were closed. But if the point I'm trying to get at is that if it depends what the objective of this assault, this operation is, and it has been pre-planned, it's not just off the cuff. If it is to radically change the policy of Qatar to make it a form of Bahrain, then I think I'm not sure how you can negotiate that. It is a fundamental loss of sovereignty, as the Emir and as the Qatari authorities have said today, that this is an attack on their sovereignty as an independent country. If, however, this is just a shot across the bows and it stops here, then I think that is negotiable. because there are measures in which you can take to de-escalate a diplomatic crisis. It depends on what the game plan is.
Mahfouz, do you want to pick up on that and tell us what you think, the game plan is?
You know, at the end of the day, not only what Qatar can present, what the others can present. I mean, what they expect from Qatar to present or give a concession. I mean, at the end of the day, Qatar has its own foreign policy, has defined its own national interest. Based on that, they define their alliances, regardless who are those alliances. I mean, in case of Saudi Arabia, for example, it has historical ties with Muslim Brotherhood. Overnight, they give this up. Now they have a normal relations with Doha. This doesn't mean this is the fault of Doha. I think what the question remains on what other countries can present to serve the interest of Doha if Doha want to give a concession. If they want, for example, in the decisive storm, Doha went with Saudi Arabia, with this coalition led by Saudi Arabia, and they contributed militarily and financially to the whole operation. Why this was not enough from Doha side? And more important, I think in the case of Yemen, there was more economic support, even with the situation in Libya. I think what is required is a specific role from Qatar. What I see that both countries, Abu Dhabi and Riyadh, they were drained economically and politically in both countries, in Yemen and in Libya. And I can add Egypt to this. And I think what they try to do now is changing the direction to blame someone for all of this. And I think the blame now is targeting Doha, because the drain, the economic and political drain in both countries was huge. The decisive storm lasts now for nearly 2 years. There is no serious outcome of that. And I think this adds more pressure economically and politically on those countries.
It's going to be fascinating, isn't it, the way it all plays out. I'm sorry, gentlemen, I think we could probably carry on for another half hour, but we're running out of time there. Mahjoub Zewaidi and David Hurst and Abdulaziz Al-Thor joining me here in the studio.
All right, everyone, give me a go to a commercial break. When we come back out of the commercial break, give my take on this and why you should know and be ready for this global swing away from the U.S. dollar. This is one of a very, very key event. Hopefully, and this works out to where it won't spring anything, because I don't want anything to change. Well, things definitely have to change, but and they will change. But I don't want them to change by the overall discretion of those that are in control. I would love for us as the people of the world to gain control and to have the changes that will be difficult but necessary to make. But I don't want these changes to be made by the overall method and the objectives of those that have been in control, because that is a very disastrous one, and it's been that way and has been proven to be that way over the past. So if you'd like to get in when we come back out of the break, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. When we come back, something else that I just want to bring my overall points of view about this and why this is a critical, critical event, especially for us within the communities here that we serve. Listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
All Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. This is extremely, extremely important in my eyes because this is the plays to everything. Now, and this is critical because of what the overall effects can be globally. Now, one of the things that I want to say, I want to give my opinion about this, but here, before we get going, let me just give you some outlinings as to why this is, you know, what is some of the ramifications in this. And they are huge, ladies and gentlemen, because now we're talking about some of the largest and wealthiest countries, Qatar being one of the largest, wealthiest countries per capita in the world, and all of a sudden the world is pulling back its overall investments, and this is going to cause a big void, and this void could be so huge. And I think when you look at who gains from this, and they ask the question about who could be behind this, well, who gains the most from this? Watch, in my opinion, you'll see the U.S. send, and they've already committed 10,000 troops to Qatar, I believe it was. So watch that. This is a strategical placement for, and let me tell you something, Russia, and then not only that, just Saturday, Qatar's foreign minister made an emergency trip to Russia. Why did they make an emergency trip to Russia? Do you think that they made an emergency trip to Washington? No. And then they're also waiting for Hong Kong to respond, and they're going to be waiting for China to respond. What do you think is really happening here, ladies and gentlemen? Qatar knows exactly what's on the line here. Their sovereignty is more in jeopardy, and this is they are strategically placed, completely strategically placed for what? For the overall, in my opinion, the overall invasion that's going to be needed in order to facilitate any meaningful, measurable war against Russia, Syria, and Iran in that region, and all those that would align with it. This is critical. This is staging for that. And in my opinion, it was no coincidence that the events of last week happened the way that they happened, where they pulled back all of their diplomats, and now they're basically having a blockade of that is an act of war. Where did you see this before? You're seeing this throughout. This happened with Japan by the U.S. Who does this type of sanction? These types of sanctions only come from who? The U.S., ladies and gentlemen. The same ones that are saying that they want this to end, you know, and it shouldn't, because they're the ones that invoked it. And as we and what happened today, Monday, people were lining up in Doha and throughout Qatar trying to get their overall. It was basically a run on the banks. This is a huge run on the banks on a very strategically important financial cog globally. And what I definitely could see happening from this is huge. As banks start to withdraw, as they start to now, they're pulling out completely. As they start to withdraw, that's going to cause for other countries to have to follow suit. And this is going to cause for a major, in my opinion, this could be a major banking crisis that could lead to, because the United Arab Emirates is pulling out everything. There's no country that can survive such an attack. No country can survive such a divestment financially. Because what happens is, as they pull out, other countries will have to pull out as well. Europe will have to pull out. The U.S. will have to pull out. And see, they're going to, in this, by having this void, In my opinion, this is a strategical move to get Qatar to ask for the U.S. aid. And then they'll do what? The U.S. will require what? And for that aid to happen, for their overall placement in that area to be larger. And what do you think Iran is going to do? What do you think Russia is going to do? What do you think Turkey is going to do? No. No, no, no. This, and let me tell you, this means that those in that area, they better be prepared for this, because in this blockade, they may not only place that they're getting aid right now, food-wise, is they're going to be having to get aid from who? Turkey and other countries, but all that is going to stop with part of the blockade. Who's going to run that blockade? Who's going to run that blockade? How are they going to enforce that blockade? There was the German foreign minister, Gabriel, told newspapers that Qatar's crisis could lead to war. Now, remember, Turkey just kicked Germany out of Turkey. A NATO nation kicked another NATO nation out of its militarily, kicked them out militarily. And this was by no coincidence at all. This is huge. And what this does is that it starts the overall perpetual banking crisis that goes globally. Now you have the perfect setup for when there's trade stops moving, currency stops, first currency stops moving, then trade starts moving, then army starts shooting. Turkey is already deploying 3,000 of their troops there. Pakistan is sending 20,000 of its troops to Qatar. Some of the things that's in critical for you all is this. As this banking sector starts to implode, it's going to have direct ties to your banks and your overall access to things here. I won't be surprised if all of a sudden there is a major cyber attack that is going to be blamed here or used from here. Because as these institutions start pulling out, one of the largest institutions, and that would be HSBC, its Middle East version of it, is going to be pulling out. If they pull out of Qatar, that is huge. HSBC, Middle East, that's the largest. They pull out, all bets is off for. This is basically an act of war. Now, who is Qatar going to ask to come to their aid, and at what cost? What are they be willing to do? For what? And in my opinion, Iran cannot allow Qatar to be lost. Strategically speaking, can't. Cannot allow. This is why, in my opinion, that this is why Iran is sending food and aid to Qatar as we speak right now. Now think about it. If the embargo is in place, if Iran and Turkey, Pakistan, and these nations are not upholding the embargo, what is going to happen when their overall vessels are being challenged not to bring aid to Qatar? This is how war starts. So what happens? How is this going to be enforced? By what means and by what measure is this going to be forced? These countries are going to be faced with something. Are they going to run the blockade, or are they going to allow the blockade to happen? And if they allow the blockade to happen, why is there? That means it starves out Qatar, and then Qatar does what? It has to bow. Or is a deal going to be made that we're not going to? You have what you have in Syria, but this is by a different means. It's all by the same objective to seize that area, because this has everything to do with Iran. And Iran selling its overall oil. Now, all of a sudden, they say that, and they say that Qatar was supporting terrorists, and I'm going to tell you, they keep using that word because that's a loosely way to say that you are doing things that adversely affect our economies. The overall banking collapse of the Western banking institution is being challenged. This is why you're seeing these overt acts right now, because they are actually being blasted. And they're losing their position, and this is where you're going to have some irrational events happen. This is why this happened right after and so quickly after. It wasn't even 24 hours after that this happened, or less than 48 hours after. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how you get into wars, major big ones with major countries. What is going to happen when Iran runs the blockade and bringing aid to, and they shoot down an Iranian cargo, shoot down, or are engages by way of drone supply lines that the Iranians are bringing to Qatar, or by any whoever brings, however, whatever methods that they bring it. What happens when Pakistan is hit, their troops are hit for being there? What happens when Turkish troops are hit for being there? This is how this whole area becomes totally unstabilized, because it was purposely unstabilized by who and for what reason. And what is the response going to be? I'm going to tell you that it is going to be a asymmetrical response. Its finances were hit, so the finances will be where the overall response will be. And I wouldn't be surprised if you have a surprise happening relatively soon. A financial Pearl Harbor is brewing, ladies and gentlemen, and it ain't gonna be pretty. So this is why it matters to you. This is why it should matter to us. And so my man Scotty says he had a comment. So Scotty, yeah, jump in at any time. You have a question, a comment you want to make, definitely. If anyone else would like to jump in, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Remember, destabilization of this area brings about troops from around the world. And this one is probably going, this is one, of, to me, this is an unfolding major, major global event that we have going on here. And by time, and I just want you all to be prepared for this before it becomes something that we say what happened here in the neighborhoods. So, my man Scotty, you had a comment?
Yes. Can you hear me, Dave?
Yeah. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. Well, being that I'm former military, my mind always goes back to the position Yep. that they're placed in, that it's like Kissinger said, they're nothing but dogs of war. They look at them as animals to willingly be sacrificed, pawns to be. And so we know there's thousands, we talked about it last week, thousands of U.S. troops based in Qatar on the invitation of Qatar, with the permission of Qatar. Yep. So with Trump siding with the Saudi Arabia in this, and it's not widely being reported, but Israel is also involved in this, in these moves and what.
Oh, huge.
Yeah. So you taking this position, you know, just the ridiculous nature of trying to accuse them of terrorism. You know, what did they say? Reagan said one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. Mm-hmm. So just tossing around that yep. label and designating these different groups. And I would say to anyone living in the United States that in the 1800s, the Ku Klux Klan was once designated as a terrorist organization, and now they can get state-sponsored nonprofit status. So, you know, let's just be careful when we want to believe this or that group is a terrorist, or what the mainstream corporate state media tells us. But my concern is always with the troops, because those are our children, you know. And many of them were like me. They didn't join for a guide country and all of that. They joined for a GI Bill. They joined because they coming out of it's the poverty draft. And I'm willing to bet you that at least 70% of those troops, however many it is support positions. These aren't combat troops. These are probably communication troops, supply troops, a few, aircraft support and that nature. So if this was to blow up, what kind of position is that? They don't care about the troops. You are nothing but dogs to be sacrificed for their agenda. They don't care. They'll wave that flag and all this and that, but they really don't care about our children and the position they putting them in.
None whatsoever. And I'm going to tell you, this is bad because here's the bad thing about this. All those troops could end up getting stuck over there and not be able to get back to the U.S. When the U.S. loses its financial placing, and it can happen overnight. I'm going to tell you, there's just a couple of things a couple of countries can do, and the U.S. dollar will won't have any purchasing power at all. If it doesn't have any purchasing power, this is what happened with Rome. They overextended themselves with military bases everywhere. How are you going to get all of that? All those individuals you got over there was not a cheap endeavor to get them there. And if you don't have any purchasing power, how the heck are you going to get them back home when you can't afford gas? And that's a long way home. You can't, and if you destabilize that area by war and everything else, and then drop the financial bomb, this is so bad. And these are things that we need to prepare for, and here and there. And then I'm gonna tell you, this is my opinion. In today's world, when they use that word, the way that they use it to invoke their overall, they use the word of terrorism so that they can have a terrorist act on other countries. And this is the new politically correct way to say, this is you either with us or not. And everybody that's not, we're going to label you as this so that we can forcefully invoke our agenda on you. And the rest of the world is saying no. But it's all a part of the ploy. In my opinion, why is this so important to the person here? This is going to cause a banking crisis that is going to be the excuse for military confrontation that will be lost, and the U.S. will lose that because it will have no allies. Congress has already, lawmakers has already said, wait a minute, we're worried about, we're losing allies to China. Qatar is an ally that will be lost to China. So what does that mean? When you're the biggest bully and you start to lose, what do? You start to get scared, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to overextend yourself, and the rest of the world ain't scared, and the rest of the neighborhood ain't scared of the bully no more. And they're going to team up against the bully. The bully only has influence when there is no collective movement by those that the bully has individually beaten up on. So this is huge. And I say, watch this, because this has ties to your overall in so many ways. Be prepared for everything. And the example here is that Qatar was wealthy. And I say the word was. Once they pulled the financial rug out from them, when the United Arab Emirates and all of these other nations start pulling their banking relationships out of them, they are basically economically devastated to a crisis. They don't have U.S. dollars. They can't – they don't have – they're scrambling for – purchasing vehicles of purchasing power. That exact same thing is going to happen here, but it's going to be in a different way. They don't have the dollars. We'll have all the dollars, but they won't buy a darn thing because the financial rug has been pulled. Our concern will be that the dollar that we have won't be able to buy anything. We're going to be broke billionaires, plenty of cash, nothing to buy with it. It won't buy anything. The setup is so deep. You need to be prepared for this. This is why we're doing the economic control your wealth seminar in Dallas on July the 1st. This is why we said get in on the trade coin club endeavor that we're doing. There's going to be some other things that we're going to be doing that you should be engaging in, and you can get in from whatever your, you know, from a very small economic position. You need to, regardless of how much or how little you have, you need to do something with it. You need to use that energy and move it to away on this swing of the U.S. dollar. The rest of the world is going to behave. And all those that have aligned against Qatar will all of a sudden turn on the one that pushed them to do this. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the backdoor deal that's being made. The outward things that you see is being covered by the things that you don't see. All those nations that made this deal based off of the instigation of, in my opinion, of the ones that had the most to gain from this, the U.S. and Israel, is being back-channeled doors to be made, because they need to do this to show, and then it's all going to come back. What did Iran say today? We can prove that the U.S. has been funding ISIS. When is that going to come out, ladies and gentlemen? At the appropriate time, the world court is going to be held, and the U.S. will be found guilty. So, listen, guys, you ready to get out of here? If you'd like to get in on the conversation, let me make sure we don't have any callers in queue. No callers out of there. So, this is real. So we're getting ready to get out of here. I just want to say to you all, thank you for listening and being a part of Tando Radio Show. Those of you that are in the Trade Coin Club, we will have a conference call tomorrow right after Tando, 5 minutes after Tando Radio Show. So much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Brother Bragg, if you will, if you would chime us out, we're greatly appreciated. Much love, much respect. Talk to you all soon. Peace. Thank you, Brother Braggs.
Peace. Peace. Yes, sir.